Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something, inspired by the moth, seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on December 15th, 2011 at the Missoula Art Museum, and features six storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Dear Diary, which ties into the art exhibit that was a fictionalized account of the lost journals of Sacagawea by artists Deborah Magpie Earling and Peter Rylich Koch. Our first story comes from Susan Maruka and is titled, The Laying On of Hands, Exploring the Boundaries of Belief. Thank you for listening, and now, our first story.
Thank you all for being here. I better start telling my story or else Mark is going to ring the gong soon. I walked into a hot, windowless room, and I had no idea that within the hour, half a dozen mullet-sporting, mustached, middle-aged men in polyester dress slacks were going to lay their hands on me. It was the 80s. I was 15, and I was a guest of my good friend Lisa at the Teeter Creek Pentecostal Church of God in Barber County, West Virginia. I had been invited by my friend Lisa to attend church with her, and I acquiesced on that Sunday because, well, first, Lisa was a redheaded, popular, cute cheerleader, and I was the captain of the recreational mathematics team. Our friendship was improbable. It deserved to be honored. Second, I was generally rebelling against my atheist scientist parents by honoring the Sabbath. Third, I wanted more than anything to experience for myself the great mystery of existence. You know, the intertwining oneness of everything. And I thought at the time that God, or religion at least, would help me accomplish this. As the service started, I was filled with apprehension and nausea that usually accompanies naked anxiety nightmares. I was pretty sure I was clothed, but I knew that I was really out of place. But I was dying to see how the story would unfold. This church convened in a repurposed gas station many miles outside of town. There was a congregation of about 30 people, and they started randomly praying out loud, mostly in English, shouting out hymns and thank you, Jesus. And the pastor was making some statements that sounded kind of compelling, if not totally confusing. And the whole time there was this woman standing at the front on a platform, and she was an old lady in rather shabby clothes. And my friend Lisa told me that she sometimes delivered prophecies, and she always stood ready. About the time that I thought I had succeeded in stealthily going unnoticed, the pastor called out for souls to be saved. And Lisa's pom-pom clasping grip on my arm caused me to be standing in the middle of the room, suddenly surrounded by the polyester mullet men and the prophet lady, and my friend Lisa, whose friendship suddenly seemed way less probable. My escape was blocked. My armpits were sweating, somewhat like they are now. And as the hands came down on me, and my impending salvation loomed, my lower self secretly wished that I had voided my bladder in the bushes outside before the service started. The faces around me contorted with glory and expectation. Eyes were fluttering backwards, and there were calls to the Spirit to enter me and relieve me of my burden of sin, and chance for me to be set free. And oh my gosh, I wanted to be set free. And this pulsating swell of prayer became louder and louder and louder until, yes, praise Jesus, the hands all lifted up, and I felt nothing. I felt nothing but a big confusion as cold and vast as the universe. And I realized, oh my gosh, I am riding the spiritual short bus. How could this be? How could it happen that all these people thought, did we have the same experience here? They all thought that I was saved, and I came away knowing that I wasn't. Did they fake it? I don't think they faked it. I think they were fools. And it turns out I was spiritually incompetent. At that moment, I decided I really needed to pursue other avenues of rebellion against my parents, like drugs or sex or something more conventional. At that point, I abandoned religion, and I decided to seek my truth from the one thing I knew I could trust, science. I spent 20 years pursuing truth from science. I studied physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, statistics, astronomy. I asked so many questions. I honed questions like they were the edge of a knife. I sought arenas that rewarded and nurtured driven questioners, because that's what I was, a driven questioner. My questions gave birth to new questions, and I had a passel of grandchildren questions, all of which I tended. And I realized that learning how to question and how to give birth to questions taught me to disbelieve. My strategy was that I would accept any idea as plausible, but disbelieve every one that wasn't nailed to the wall with the hammer of my own empiricism. At that point, I would have denied gravity if I didn't have a whole lot of, you know, incontrovertible proof for its existence. Every waking moment became an opportunity for data collection. Every event that I witnessed, I could ascribe to random chance or a grand pattern. And if I managed to keep OCD at bay, it's fun. So years of science, though satisfying and fun, didn't make me feel or help me to understand the deep interconnectedness that I still believed was possible. So science, my chosen path, actually pulled me further from my great mystery. So to summarize, religion, total bust. Science, not quite. So how am I going to find this one elusive thing that I really need? A few years ago, I met Linda. Linda is an old hippie. She has a raspy voice and a hearty laugh and frizzy hair that's parted down the middle. And she's the mother of a friend. She lived with me in my house for a time while she was going through transition. Linda was about as real and good as a person can be. So real and good that you realize other people are not as real or good. She had no interest in religion, nor in science. We became great friends. She told me soon after she moved in with me that she was an energy healer. She would help people overcome their emotional pain by reading their auras or communicating with the spirits, or transferring universal healing energy to wherever it needed to be. And we sat on my porch many, many hours in the warmth of summertime watching the changing light and the dogwoods blooming and the bumblebees buzzing. And she told me story after story of helping people overcome their pain and opening channels to truth and healing with her hands and removing psychic obstacles. And I thought, oh my gosh, she really believes that she has these powers. And of course, you might imagine, I believed that she did not. This was troubling because she was my friend and I didn't want her to be a quack. But I wondered if the people she thought she healed were at all like myself 20 years before, standing in the middle of an old gas station in the heart of Appalachia, expecting salvation and receiving instead nothing but years of hollow skepticism. But as long as she merely told me stories and didn't ask me to participate, I could shelter her from my disbelief. And I convinced myself that it didn't really matter what I thought. So, of course, she's a massage therapist. One day she invited me to have a massage. And, of course, I never turned down a free massage, so I said yes. And I'm on her massage table. She'd been working on me for about an hour, and I was trying to relax. She said, "You know, Susan, I think I feel something here. You have a sort of energetic blockage. And if you're comfortable, I could open a channel and explore this a little more. So if you're game, you know, it might really help." And I thought, oh, no, this is not good. Because, Linda, I don't want to expose you as a fraud. But necessity is the mother of invention, and curiosity is its crazy drunk uncle. And I needed a reinvention of my belief system or disbelief system. And I was really curious. Maybe my disbeliefs could suspend themselves. Maybe I could get a little taste of the great mystery. And if this doesn't work, I will never ask again. So I said to Linda, "So is this opening the channel thing, will this work if I don't really do my part properly?" And she looked at me, and I knew that she knew that I was a disbeliever. And she kind of smiled and said, yeah, it'll work. And I was like, all right, knock yourself out, unblock me. And I closed my eyes, and she moved her hands over me. And it was as though I had, up to that moment, been in a very small room, leaning against the door to my own soul, and it flew open. And where I expected ground and sky and familiar objects, there was nothing but a wide openness through which I tumbled and tumbled and tumbled. And I had no sense of my body. I had no sense of my mind. I had no sense of my senses. And I just kept tumbling, and it was indescribable and utterly freeing and utterly frightening and utterly, utterly real. And I was jerked back then to the present moment by Linda grabbing my wrists and kind of shaking me and saying, whoa. I thought maybe I lost you there for a minute. Apparently, I had been convulsing for a couple of minutes on her table. And as I unclenched my fists and caught my breath, Linda leaned in and whispered to me, "You know, Susan, it's okay to believe in it." And it was, and it is. Thank you.
For your support of live storytelling and local art. Tell Us Something would like to thank Missoula Art Museum, free expression, free admission. More at missoulaartmuseum.org. Deborah Magpie Earling, for her part in the Artini event with her exhibit The Lost Journals of Sacagawea, with photo interventions by Peter Rutledge Koch. The bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff at the University of Montana. More at montanabookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. More at factandfictionbooks.com. Josh Quick Illustration and Design. Josh Quick, who designed the posters for this event. More at quickjosh.com. Garage Tees, screen printing, t-shirts, and more. Montana is for badasses. More at garagetees.net. Jess Millette for her help with timekeeping during the event. Nick Shantz for his help restoring the site when servers crashed. The next Tell Us Something podcast is forthcoming. Like us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, or at tellussomething.org. The next Tell Us Something event is scheduled for March 6th at the Top Hat. Everyone has a story. What's yours?